Today on Annenberg Radio News.
When did LA start the transition from the automobile to a new way of getting around this town?
What would Los Angeles be without cars? One group wants to find out. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, October 7th, 2010. I'm LaTanya Kirkland. Protesters are marching today against budget cuts to schools, libraries, and other public services. Our reporter Chris Foy is in downtown Los Angeles with the marchers. He joins us live.
Hi, LaTanya. I'm outside the headquarters of the Los Angeles Unified School District in downtown LA, where teachers, students, and traditional Mexican dancers gathered to demonstrate the deep and far-reaching budget cuts to public education. Protesters say they are upset at concern on the Board of Education's part for keeping the schools properly funded, keeping music programs intact, and often teachers are getting the pink slips. I talked to a teacher who's been in the business for 14 years, and Michelle said that she was upset at the amount of hours that were cut from her part-time staff. She is an adult educator, and she said amongst the K-12 schools, which are getting a lot of teachers laid off in the education field of the public school district, part-time teachers are getting their hours reduced, and she says one of her friends who had 16 hours before the budget cuts was cut to 12 hours, and now she can't afford to pay her bills. There's another gentleman named Riza who brought up the point that millions and billions are actually spent overseas for the defense budget, and schools in Los Angeles, says, are suffering the consequences of the education budget that is probably the worst in decades. And I don't know if you can hear it right now, but the protesters began their march in the headquarters of the Los Angeles Unified School District, and they're heading down Flower Street towards the Central Library on the 600 block of West 7th Street. And leading them is a group of traditional Mexican dancers, and you might be able to hear them banging their drums right now, but out here on the streets, everybody seems pretty upset, at least on the protester side, over the cuts to education that we will expect in the future. Back to you in the studio.
Thanks, Chris. Today, L.A. County Sheriff Lee Baca endorsed Democrat Jerry Brown for governor. Baca's a Republican, but he crossed party lines to support Brown, who is now California's attorney general. Baca says Brown is strong on victims' rights and innovative in his approach to fighting crime. Brown's opponent, Meg Whitman, has been endorsed by the California Peace Officers Association and the sheriffs of other counties. The newest hired LA Unified School teachers may be less vulnerable to layoffs. That's according to a major settlement today. Albert Sabate has the details.
A new agreement by the Los Angeles Board of Education and the ACLU changes the usual practice of laying off the most recently hired teachers first. Now, some teachers will retain their jobs over teachers who have been teaching longer. Teachers like Sarah Taylor say this is especially important for South LA.
I think that in any other school community, a policy that continually lays off more than half of the teachers at one school site year after year and places substitute after substitute in front of the students would be an outrage and it would be deemed criminal.
That's right.
And today, this settlement says to us that this policy will no longer be tolerated by the schools of South Central Los Angeles.
The ACLU and others filed a lawsuit against the LAUSD in February. The lawsuit accuses the LAUSD of denying students equal access to public education. Mark Rosenbaum from the ACLU.
The American dream must be open and accessible to all children. Poverty and race shall not disadvantage any child.
Until now, layoffs have been based on seniority. More often than not, new instructors teach at poor or low-achieving schools. But because these teachers are at the bottom of the totem pole, they're the first to go. That means that those schools lose a larger proportion of their teachers. Plaintiffs found a loophole in the education code that said seniority could be used in determining layoffs, but only if it doesn't interfere with the student's education. Here's Kenneth Aubrey, a teacher at Gumpers Middle School. The unanimously approved settlement would spare 45 struggling schools from layoffs. LA Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa said these reforms were just the start.
This isn't just about
fixing the dance of the lemons. It's about cutting down the trees. A system where decisions are based solely on seniority has created a system of severe inequality. And a system where decisions are made to protect the adults has only served to hurt the children.
This settlement still has to be approved by a judge, but is widely expected to be approved. This is Albert Sabate, Edinburgh Radio News.
A former Kaiser Permanente doctor is suing the healthcare provider. He says Kaiser denied healthcare to special needs patients. Stephanie Guzman has more.
Dr. Richard De La Peña used to work for Kaiser Permanente. He recently filed a lawsuit against his former employers, saying they weren't treating disabled patients fairly. The doctor is an expert in caring for the elderly. He says Kaiser is required by law to treat disabled and chronically ill patients, but he claims Kaiser denied treatment to about 57,000 people. This even after Kaiser got $13 billion from Medicare to treat them.
Because it's so expensive, Kaiser figured out a way where they could take the billions from the federal government, but not have to do the work.
That was De La Peña's attorney, Charles Matthews. He says that De La Peña is filing this lawsuit because these patients can't.
Patients don't have a voice. They can't speak for themselves. The ones that are in need of palliative care will be dead soon. The ones that are chronically disabled typically don't have the ability to speak or anybody to speak for them.
We called Kaiser Permanente, and a spokesman says they were not aware of the lawsuit and can't comment. Stephanie Guzman, Annenberg Radio News.
Our rain spell has passed, and tonight will be clear with a low of 60 degrees. Friday will also be sunny with a high of 77 degrees, and the heat will move in again this weekend with a high of 86 on Sunday. Later on Annenberg Radio News, the California budget is finally coming up for a vote. Will the state begin to heal its huge deficit? Imagine the busy streets of the city center. Now imagine them free of cars, buses, and motorcycles. This weekend, that unlikely scene becomes a reality. Caitlin Parker and Emily Frost have the story.
This Sunday, 10-10-10, 7.5 miles of LA streets will be closed to traffic for the first ever Cicla Via, where bikers and walkers will take to the streets, converting them into a park for a day. Cicla Via organizer Jonathan Parfrey thinks Cicla Via is going to be a landmark event for LA.
It's going to be one of those red letter days when, you know, we're going to think back on when did LA start the transition from the automobile to a new way of getting around this town.
The idea for the event comes from Bogota, Colombia, where every Sunday the city holds ciclovias, which means bike path in Spanish. LA is late to the party. Cities across the U.S., including San Francisco, Seattle, Portland, Chicago, and New York, have already hosted major bicycle events. Parfrey says part of the city's delay is a byproduct of the recession.
And so it's been very difficult to tell the cities that are involved that they have to find these additional resources when they're really struggling right now.
There have been bureaucratic delays as well. Cicla Via had to pull in many city departments to get the project running.
And you have to win their trust, you have to bring them on board, and that's taken a little over 2 years.
Cicla Via draws on funding from grants, earmarked city money, and enthusiastic support from Mayor Villaraigosa, who Parfrey says has been a champion of the project. Parfrey believes part of that enthusiasm stems from the benefits to local businesses.
There are businesses along the route. Many of those businesses are closed on Sunday. But now they're going to have tens of thousands of people zipping by their front door or walking by their front door. This is an opportunity for people who are small businesses to actually get increased revenue.
Annenberg Radio's Caitlin Parker found that organizers don't want Cicla Via to be just a one-time event.
Jonathan Parfrey imagines the scene planting a seed. Engineer and Cicla Via organizer Stephen Villavaso feels the same way.
Because one Cicla Via doesn't really accomplish the goal. The goal is to have something that's regular, that people can get used to and make it ritual routine, and actually then you see a benefit to the lives of the community.
Ciclovias in Latin America happen on a weekly basis. Villavaso would be happy to see one in LA every other month. He'd also like to see the route grow longer.
I'm really happy with being able to start with a fairly large route, 7.5 miles. That's about what Bogota's first system was about 8 miles. It's about where Guadalajara started, and Bogota is now at 70 miles, and Guadalajara is about 40 miles. So, you know, I'd love to see it grow like that, and I'm happy with where we're starting.
When deciding on the route for Los Angeles, Villavaso and his team established 3 pieces of criteria.
One of them was population density, another was accessibility to transit, and the third was that it should service an area that doesn't have an abundance of parks already. We were looking at the area in between those major parks that doesn't have, you know, much public space for the population, so we, you know, bring the park to the people to bring them to the park.
The mayor will be on hand to kick off the party on Sunday at 10 a.m. at Hollenbeck Park in Boyle Heights. People can join in at any time, anywhere along the route, but cars will be back on the road starting at 3 p.m.
This has been Emily Frost
and Caitlin Parker
for Annenberg Radio News.
Over the past few weeks, we've been taking a look at some of the propositions that will appear in November's ballot. Today, we'll talk about Proposition 24, which would change the way businesses are taxed. Arielle Edwards-Levy has more.
Supporters say it would end tax breaks for big corporations. Opponents say it would hurt small businesses struggling to survive. Prop 24 would repeal 3 laws passed in 2008 and 2009 that cut business taxes. Scott McDonald is the spokesman for Stop Prop 24. He says those changes were designed to help small businesses weather times like these.
We all know that this recession has hurt a lot of people. The last thing we need to do is to add burden to states' small businesses and multi-state companies and others by passing Prop 24.
That's not how Greg Solkovitz sees it. He's with United Teachers LA, which supports Prop 24. Solkovitz says with California's budget problems, the state can't afford to give tax breaks.
Vote to repeal those tax breaks, it's a piece to solving California's perennial budget problems. We have a revenue problem because we've continued to give the wealthy and large corporations tax breaks.
A poll taken last week showed voters tied, with a third still undecided. Arielle Edwards-Levy, Annenberg Radio News.
We won't know about Prop 24 until the November election, but we could be getting close to getting a budget in California. The legislature is finally discussing an $87.5 billion proposed budget. Lawmakers say it will only erase $19 billion from the deficit, and many are skeptical. I spoke with Bill Watkins from the Center for Economic Research and Forecasting at California Lutheran University about the budget and what California needs for effective change. Do you think the proposed budget will be able to pull us out of the current mess that we're in California?
Not a chance. It's another one-time fix with a little bit of smoke and mirrors, and it just doesn't address the long-term structural budget problem we have in California.
As far as the long-term structural problems, what do you think those are?
Well, we've locked in spending at least $10 billion a year more than we're going to get in revenues. And so we either need to find a permanent source of increased revenues or a permanent cut or some combination of the two.
Are there any permanent cuts that you would recommend?
You know, pensions seem to be the target of the day, and I see the governor's got a few of those. But, you know, the problem with anybody recommending cuts is that everybody's got their own preferences of what they like to see government do and not do.
I know that a large part of this new proposal depends on cutting both future pensions and current salaries of state workers. What effect do you think that will have, if any?
It'll have an immediate effect in that there'll be some spending cuts on the parts of these individuals, but the cuts are probably not enough to solve the problem that we're going to be facing.
you know, some things were saved in this budget, for instance, subsidized child care.
Mm-hmm.
In your opinion, do you think that's a good thing? Is there a way to save these services that we hold dear and fix the budget?
I think so. I think that, you know, the state social programs are necessary. From what I can tell, we spend a little more than some states. But those are social choices on what the right amount is. The spending tends to just fluctuate with the business cycle, but they need to maintain the social programs.
And what else do you think is necessary to get us out of this mess and not pass it on to the next administration?
It seems to me that the real thing to do is to approach it by growing out of the problem. California's economy has performed so far worse than the United States economy. And rather than year after year go through these battles over taxes and spending, I think the conversation should be, what can we do to improve the economic performance and grow out of the problem?
Are you hopeful that the fundamental problem will be addressed with the next administration?
You know, California's political structure is such that nobody has any responsibility. Everybody points fingers, and because of that, I don't hold out any hope, regardless who wins the gubernatorial election.
All right, thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
That was Bill Watkins from the Center for Economic Research and Forecasting at California Lutheran University. The Figueroa Corridor connects Exposition Park to downtown, but now it's trying to become a community in its own right. Rachel Lee has more.
Figueroa Street links some of the area's biggest attractions, from the Coliseum to LA Live, but it's still seen as a way to get from point A to point B and not a destination.
It's like a freeway. There's just a whole lot of people traveling through it at very busy, congested speeds that really don't take the time to see what amazing things are along it.
That's Lillian Birkenheim, who works for the Community Redevelopment Agency of LA. She says residents and business owners are trying to change that. Her group just received $20 million from the state to renovate and improve Figueroa Street. They're trying to make it friendlier for pedestrians, bikers, and transit riders. They held workshops this week to ask locals about how they're currently using the street and how they'd improve it.
There is a lot of people that walk Figueroa, that take their bicycles along Figueroa, live along Figueroa, and they'd like Figueroa to reflect a little bit of that, that it calmed down a little bit, that there's a little bit less car traffic on it, more opportunities for biking and walking, and more places that people from the community feel like they would like to come and hang out.
Birkenheim says improvements will start around April of 2012. Rachel Lee, Annenberg Radio News.
And now we'll talk to Candace Brain about what's happening on ATVN tonight at 6 p.m.
LAUSD teachers plan on implementing new teacher hiring practices. We'll have the latest. Plus, fallout continues on the Rutgers University suicide, and a park goes green. Find out how. I'm Candace Brain. ATVN is tonight at 6.
Thanks, Candace. Sounds like you have some great stories there. A major traffic jam snarled up the 5 freeway this morning, and the culprit was yams. A big rig carrying the tubers caught on fire near Glendale, closing all but one southbound lane. There were no injuries. And just in case you're not clear, the Highway Patrol wants you to know that the culprits are not sweet potatoes, which are different from yams. That's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Julia Gabrick, Laura Galanter, Stephanie Kaiser, Ryan Nunez, Stephanie Sherman, and Kyle Tebueno-Froley. Ariel Edwards-Levy is our producer. The executive producer is Jessica Flores. For all of us at Annenberg Radio News, I'm LaTanya Kirkland.